Ricky Beth Poindexter. Ricky Beth. It's a great little southern name. Thank you, Mom and Dad. My lesson today is on balance. And you may be going, you're not going to talk. Does anybody remember what I taught before? Oh.
Building blocks.
I sure did. Ha ha. You get to put your name in the bag of your choice. But, okay, I spoke twice. She was first. All right, what was the first one? No, don't look at your notes. I might give you a paper for having your notes.
Sometimes I just pull them out and want to remind myself.
And guess what?
Papers.
I have papers for today. All right. Okay, Miss Valerie.
His good thing.
Yes, on being his good thing. Look at y'all. I'm a words of affirmation kind of girl, so I'm feeling love today. And I want you to pass one back to her for having her lessons from a year and a half ago. Yeah, almost 2 years ago. So today it's going to be more about balance. So this is actually a lesson that could just be taught in just a ladies' session at any type of conference. But what I have found, a balanced wife is great value to her husband. So if we're balanced, we're going to be his good thing, and we're going to be building our home, not plucking it down. Proverbs 14:1. I've got like a couple of places to springboard, and then we'll dive into Luke, because I'm going to go to our very wonderful, unbalanced example of Martha. She's my spirit lady in the Bible. anybody else in here totally relate to Martha? Yes, that is me. So we're going to talk about her, but I want to start here with Proverbs 14:1. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. I don't want to be tearing my home down. I did talk about the building blocks of a successful marriage a couple of years ago. I want to be a wise woman. I want to do everything I can to build my home when I have children. If I don't have children yet, if I have children, if I have partial children in the home, if I have no children in the home, if I have college students coming back, or if you're a complete empty nester. How many in here have young children in the home, full of children, you've still got, enjoy it. And everybody tells you, don't wish it away, enjoy it. It flies. I'm on the tail end of homeschooling, and I'm so excited. I am semi-retired. So Jacob graduates high school this year, and Micah, our youngest daughter, will graduate next year, and then I'm done. But technically, I'm done because ours do college-level classes, so all I have to do is keep transcripts. So I'm so excited, but I don't regret that at all. I homeschooled them all the way, and I'm thankful for that. Go to Ephesians. So I want to give you another verse. We're going to read a few verses, and then we're going to dive into Martha. Ephesians 5:15-16 say, "See then that ye walk circumspectly," which means diligently. So see then that we walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. That means to rescue from loss, to bring the days back, to keep them from being evil. So if we're doing that, if we're walking diligently, if we're redeeming the time, we're balanced. We're balanced. Now go to Luke 10, because this is where we will stay. This is where we'll settle. Luke chapter 10. Got all these little sticky notes. And thank you, there were sticky notes in the house. So look what I borrowed from the house. Actually, I took them because I will not be returning them. So I took them. Luke 10, let's read verse 40 to 42. "But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone?" I've said that. "Bid her therefore that she help me." I didn't say sister. I probably had somebody else's name there. "And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." All right, I'm going to let y'all pass this out. Don't worry about the back, okay? See this? Don't worry about that. I don't want you reading that while we're talking. So take a sheet, pass it around. And if you get your sheet, I think maybe my master's on the bottom. I see some blank ones on the bottom. I'll take those. I do want you somewhere, and you can go across the top, number 1 to 8, and you just need a little space, like go 1 to 8 somewhere. I just want you to have a little space. All you're going to do is write yes or no. So that's all the space you need, number 1 to 8 somewhere on one of those papers. You're going to take a little test. I love a little test. I love a little test. Love, love, love. How many of you think, don't answer out loud, how many of you think right now, you're pretty balanced? Life's pretty, you're not wobbling, you're not contributing too much time to something that you shouldn't be. It's pretty balanced. Okay, when I taught this lesson in September last year, I was totally out of balance. So when the Lord put it on my heart to teach at a marriage conference, I thought, oh, I'm not balanced right now at all. I'm going to tell you what I was doing. We had a week of scripture assembly where a guy from Michigan brought in all of his equipment. We assembled John and Romans, like 20,000. So we had that week. We went from West Virginia to Pennsylvania in like a 5-day, my husband and I. We had a marriage conference locally. That was 2 days. We were in Rhode Island. My husband was preaching. We did a week of vacation. We came into a marriage conference. So it's like 6 straight weeks. I lived out of a suitcase. I don't live out of a suitcase. Okay. We don't. We do not travel like that. Our lives are not set up like that. But I literally, was living out of a suitcase. And then the Lord says, I need you to teach this lesson. I said, okay. So I got up there and taught the lesson completely out of balance. But today I speak to you, today, at this moment, on April the 13th, Saturday, April the 13th, document it. I'm pretty balanced right now. But I want to help us because this is something, if you're in a season where you're completely out of balance, I'm going to give you 4 areas that are going to help us realize that we are. And then I'm going to tell us how we can get it back in line. If you're balanced, then these are going to be some things to look for. Because if we see them or if we hear them becoming present in our life, we're wobbling. We're getting out of balance. And we will not be building our home. An out of balance wife, I can testify, is tearing her home down. Because if we're too heavy and overloaded in one area, we're neglecting an area that needs to be taken care of. So here's number 1. So you're just going to write yes or no. All right. When life gets busy, does your time with God tend to get pushed aside? Yes or no? When life gets busy, does your time with God tend to get pushed aside? Number 2. When you try to focus on something, do you find you are easily distracted? Yes. Number 3. Overall, would you say that you tend to be a worrier? Overall, would you say you tend to be a worrier? Or would others say you tend to be a worrier? You may say no, but then your daughter-in-law says, yes, you are. Number 4. Do you ever feel sorry for yourself? Number 4. Do you ever feel sorry for yourself? Number 5. In your opinion, do you feel that you do more than your fair share of work? That was number 5. I'm sorry. In your opinion, do you feel that you do your do that you do more than your fair share of work? Number 6. Do you find at times that you're easily angered by others? Number 7. Would you say that it's easy for you to see others' faults? Would you say it's easy for you to see others' faults? And number 8. At times, do you find yourself questioning if God really cares about you? At times, do you find yourself questioning if God really cares about you? All right. So add up your... Now, hopefully this will be very eye-opening for all of us. So if you answered yes, count up your yeses and no's. If you answered yes to 4 or more, you're a little more like Martha. So get over on my side, okay? If you answered yes to less than 4, you're more like Mary. Right now, today. We're only talking about today. Saturday, April the 15th, April the 13th, because remember I told you I was pretty balanced right now. A woman shoots her husband for stepping on the clean floor. A police, she's out of balance. A police officer jumps into his squad car and calls the station. I have an interesting case here, he says. A woman shot her husband for stepping on the floor she just mopped. Have you arrested her? Asked the sergeant. No, not yet. The floor's still wet. She's out of balance. Okay, so you've got a little handout there, and you have a number one, a blank. So here are four areas. Your title says, blessed are the balanced, and we understand that if we're balanced, then you can testify of this. If you were four or more, then you were more like Martha, so we know she's a little out of balance here. And so I'm going to give us four things to be aware of. If they're there, we're out of balance. Maybe only one of them, so we can maybe get it back in the middle of the road. So I'm going to give us four areas to look for, and I'm going to give us some ways to get back in balance, because I've been way out of balance. I've confessed. I am more like Martha, okay? I'm more like Martha in a lot of ways. Number one, she's working around. You know, she's not sitting. There's a lot to be done for the cause of Christ. There's a lot that has to be done for a meeting like this. I watched Thursday night all the busyness that it took to get this together. I'm also a lot like Martha because I'm noticing who's not. So if you're a little bit more like that, I'm sorry. And then I'm a lot like Martha because then I'm fussing about it. So I don't just notice, then I begin to fuss for whoever will listen. Did you notice so-and-so wasn't helping? I'll go home and tell my husband, can you believe so-and-so wasn't at church? I'm more apt to see the black dot on the page than the whole white page. Confessing my faults. So you can tell I've spent more of my Christian life out of balance. So no, it's not encouraging, but it's real life. Because as women, as moms, as wives, we have a lot to juggle. So I want to point out number one, Martha's cumbered. That word is right there in verse 40. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. And cumbered there means distracted. Ugh. What's distracting us? We can be distracted by a lot of things. I want to name a few, okay? When I started having children, thank goodness this was not a thing. Thank goodness I didn't have that distraction. But I had plenty of other distractions when my kids were young. But things now that distract us are the television. How many times have you had a list of things that needed to be done in your head, but you sat down and started watching a television show? Television's not something that pulls on me. This isn't spiritual. This is just, I really don't care about watching television. I really just don't care. But I care about some other things. How many times have you sat down on your phone to look up something that could have been meaningful, and the next thing you know, you have entered the black hole of the phone. And now you're sitting 45 minutes later, and you started looking. I'm researching right now places to go for our 25th anniversary. So I'll start off looking at so-and-so at place, and then I'm over here looking at this. And before I know it, I'm completely looking at recipes now because that showed up somewhere, and I clicked on it. And so now I'm cooking when I'm supposed to be planning a tropical destination to go on my anniversary. Our phone, social media, our friends can distract us. I'm noticing with younger moms at my church. Oh, I am being recorded. I'm noticing at younger moms across the board that friendships are so important that we're distracted with texting and phone conversations and meeting, and we're leaving things undone to invest in our friendships. I'm a girl that gets distracted with exercise. I love to walk or run or exercise. I can put that at the top of the list very easily. And then for us now, trends. The trends are distracting. There's this trend, and if you're doing it, I am not talking bad about it. But this trend of sourdough bread making. All right, I've been making sourdough bread for 20 years. Before it was trendy, I was making sourdough bread. But this now, this feeding, and my starter doesn't do that. I have a liquid starter that stays in the refrigerator, and it doesn't overgrow and how you have a mess. And I am enamored with this trend. Some of you older ladies like my age aware of this? It's like a big thing. Yeah. All right. How many of y'all are making sourdough bread? Come on. Yeah. But we can get distracted with the trends, not just sourdough bread. There are a lot of other trends. Okay. I have a 20-year-old daughter. I am very well aware of all the trends right now. I'm very aware of them. But sourdough bread, I follow a lot of girls that I know, young ladies that are making sourdough bread. And I'm like, I've been making it for 20 years and I don't sell my starter. And I don't have to worry about, is it producing enough or not? I've put the ingredients in and within 8 hours I can make bread. Are you doing the liquid one, or you do have the one that grows?
Just the easy liquid one.
Oh yeah. Okay. Very.
Sit in the fridge a while.
There you go. That's the one I make. That one's not trendy. The one that's crusty on the top, the artesian crusty. Yeah. But we can get very distracted with the trends, and some of you are like, well, I don't care about the trend. We have something that distracts us at times when we're out of balance. I had a summer one year where I got into a series of books. And that was distracting. I was out of balance. I was spending my time reading books instead of doing some things that need to be done. So what has your attention? We have to be attentive to what is needful at the time, prioritize that. And I understand that being balanced looks very different for every lady in here. Just because this is what my day looks like, that doesn't mean what your day has to look like. Or it doesn't. Miss Valerie's day does not have to be exactly what your day. It's balanced and not distracted where you are today. I want to say this. If we're neglecting our time with the Lord, we're distracted. If your time with the Lord keeps getting pushed daily to the bottom, to the bottom, to the bottom, to the bottom, to the place where you go to bed multiple nights and you're like, I'm not spending time with the Lord. You're distracted. And I've had seasons of that, where I've laid down and thought, oh no, I had too much that day. I had too much going on that day. I probably mentioned this before if I didn't. I keep up with that in my prayer book. It's down here. I'm not going to drag it out. But I have a section where I keep up with my time with the Lord. So I'm very well aware that there's already been 13 days in April. I know how many tally marks are there. I know how many days I got for March, how many for February, how many for January. If our time with the Lord is getting pushed to the bottom, then we're too distracted. Our husbands, a lot of times, if we're distracted, gets pushed to the back. Especially if you have little kids, he can get pushed to the back. Be careful for that. Even for those of you that work, how many of you work outside of the home? Like you work a job outside of the home? Yeah, that's easy. I did that for just a short stint in our marriage. It's easy for him to get pushed to the back. So what has your attention? What has our attention? If you work out of the home, put your time in and leave it there. Don't bring it home. That's hard. And if you work in the home, be careful, because we can get easily distracted. There's so much trying to get our attention. And I think even more so now, I'm sure you ladies that have a little bit more gray hair than me were distracted when you were 20 and 30. But there's even more now. I think about the young moms now, and I'm sad for y'all, because there is even more vying for our attention. I read this quote, and I probably put it in your paper. The many things that she was troubled about were needless, while the one thing that she neglected was needful. Martha's care and work were good in their proper season and place, but now she had something else to do, which was unspeakably more needful. And it was. Someone had to cook for Jesus and the disciples, okay? Somebody did. You know, they didn't have a restaurant 30 miles up the road. They'd been traveling by foot. Someone had to cook. Martha's cooking was not bad. It was all the things surrounded it. So the trends are not bad. Reading is not bad. Social media in its place is not bad. It's when we're distracted by it and it's consuming our time. I do want to be my husband's good thing. I do want to be his crown. And if I'm distracted, I'm not doing that. So how? You got to figure out what's distracting. I named a few, and I even thought about not naming a few. But we've got to find out what is distracting. And probably, you know, if you're sitting here distracted, You know what it is. We got to get it in place. Discuss your priorities with your husband. Number two, Martha's complaining. This is not encouraging. I'm going to keep repeating, this is not encouraging, but you know what? It's needful. So much of what we hear sometimes preaching is not encouraging, but I'm thankful to be challenged to examine and get some things right. If I die today and face the Lord, I want Him to be pleased with me, and I want to have a lot of things I'm regretful about. Number two, she's complaining. Let's look in verse 40 again. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, here she comes with her expression of dissatisfaction. She's complaining. If we're complaining as wives, our husbands get the brunt of that. They hear it. I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't want that. I need this. And it's contagious. Get around a complaining person and it can rub off on you in a New York minute. Oh, I don't have, my car's got 175,000 miles and I need a new car. And the next thing I know, I'm going, oh, well, mine's got more than that. Maybe I need a new car. Complaining is very contagious. How many of you have children in the home? We can teach them to complain. They will pick up on it. No one wants to be around that kind of person, let alone married to one. If Michael Poindexter complained all the time, I would have a hard time with that. I would have a hard time with that. I want to read this little devotion about a missionary wife. She was in Africa for 52 years. She lived a life of contentment, and here were her suggestions. Never allow yourself to complain about anything, not even the weather. I live in North Carolina. The weather, if you walk outside, you don't like it, just wait a few minutes. It will change. It might be a little hot now. It'll cool down. It might be raining. It'll stop. Never picture yourself in any other circumstance or someplace else. Never compare your lot with another's. Never allow yourself to wish this or that had been otherwise. Never dwell on tomorrow. Remember that tomorrow is God's, not yours. I read that in September, and that struck me because I can complain. If we're complaining a lot, we're out of balance. We're out of balance. All right, so you say, what in the world? All right, I'm complaining. Make a list. I probably challenged you that before about your husband. Make a list. Make a list of the things you're thankful for about him. Make a list. I was joking with somebody about having a list. It's a joke in our house that I have a list of all the bad things and that I was going to come in here and share them today. But how true we do that in our mind. Not just with our husbands. It could be with anything. It could be with your church. You've got all these lists of things that you're dissatisfied about. I'm dissatisfied about that and that. And a friend, a child, whatever. It could be your husband. I'm dissatisfied with this. I'm dissatisfied with that. Make a thankful list. The things you're thankful for about your husband. What about just in general? I was gifted a new notebooking type system. I'm so excited about it. And I decided this morning, looking back over this, one of my little notebooks is going to be thankfulness. Not just a section in my prayer book. Not just a little section. I want a whole little notebook of things I'm thankful for. I can promise you this. If we will be thankful, we will not be complaining. I'm thankful for it. It was very windy yesterday. Did you? When I got out of the car here, I was like, oh, it was like, this is where I thought, oh, wait a minute. I should be thankful for that wind. It was cold this morning. We had to cut the heat on. Did y'all have heat this morning? Or is that just because we were from the south? It was cold this morning. Yeah, it was cold. I was thankful that heat, it works really well over in that house. Thankful for that. Are your bills paid for today? Remember, we're talking about today, Saturday, April the 13th. Are your bills paid for today? Be thankful. I know what it's like to worry about the next month. Stop. It's paid today. My bills are paid today. Are your kids behaving today? Most of you don't know because you're not with them. They are. Be thankful. They're behaving today. Is your marriage good today? Be thankful. Is your house clean for now? Be thankful. If it's not, it's okay. We got time for that. Is there food in the pantry today? be thankful. And then I wrote, if the weather will change tomorrow, if you don't like today. So I don't know if that's the same here, but it will. Are you healthy today? As we get older, I'm 44, my husband's 47. I think that begins to come into your mind. You're not thinking about your health in your 20s and your 30s, but on the upper end of 40, you start thinking about what will my health be like at 60, 70, 80. But if you have your health today, be thankful. Colossians 3:15 says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body. Does anybody know what it says after that? And be thankful. Let the peace of God rule in your heart and be thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I probably gave you a little quote that says, others will learn godliness if they see in us an example of contentment instead of complaint, acceptance instead of rebellion, peace instead of frustration. Sometimes we're unaware of our complaining. Unaware of it. I challenged teenage girls several years ago to put a rubber band on your wrist, and every time you hear yourself, find yourself complaining, pop it. Well, you'll think before you... It will make you think. And I think we're so quick to say, I don't like this, I don't like that, I don't want the weather, I don't like my home, I don't like my whatever. So how? We've got to learn to be content. Paul tells us in Philippians that that's something we learn. We have to learn to be content. And we have to think before we speak. Maybe you need somebody to help you be accountable. Maybe you said, oh my goodness, I'm a complainer. Get an accountability partner to say, hey, check me on this. Check me when you hear me. We're out of balance if we're complaining. Or we're starting to wobble if we're complaining. Number three, she's critical. I've got to move if we're going to be done at 10:45. I've got to move. Critical. Verse 40, she says, but Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bitter therefore that she helped me. She's critical. She says, Lord, don't you care that my sister's left me alone? She's finding fault with Mary. If we're out of balance, if we're wobbling, we're finding fault with whoever. Probably our husbands. That's the easiest. I've got a list on my phone of all the faults I found in this man. Instead of noticing all his faults, I should live so close to the Lord that I'm mourning over my own evil instead of finding his faults. It's wrong for us to expect more out of somebody than we can give. It would be wrong for me to expect my husband to meet all of my wants and needs and not give that back. I'm expecting more from him than I can give myself. Noticing all the faults. That's easy. It's easy for me to find faults. I'm a fault finder by nature. I am. Now today, April the 13th, I'm not finding fault today. But I'm not at home. I'm not amongst my church ladies. I'm not at Lighthouse Baptist Church. I'm not with my children. I'm not finding fault today. If we find ourselves critical, inclined to find fault, we're getting out of balance. Be careful. This is the easiest. So how do we help that? We look in the mirror first. The wonderful scripture about get the mote out of my own eye before I get the beam out of my brother's. That's easy preaching. That's hard living. Especially if you are inclined to find fault. Number four, I'm using the word cry because it's a C and it's alliterated. Cumbered, critical, complaining, cry. Verse 40. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bitter therefore that she helped me. She's expressing distress or pain. She's emotional. She's saying, Lord, do you not care? Go tell her what to do. Go get her. Go fix her. She is emotional. And I've learned this year, it was last year, I did a study. If you would have asked me last time I was here, and I may have said it, I'm not emotional. I'm not emotional. And y'all look at me and go, you're very emotional. You're very expressive. You get up here and then you come down here. My thought would be, I don't cry. If you see me crying, call the ambulance, okay? I'm not a crier, so I associated emotional with crying. Oh, no, no. Oh, no, no. Mm-mm. I did a study. We had a little study through the summer with some of the ladies in my church. We read an excellent book on emotions. And I realized that I'm very emotional. I just don't express it with crying. I express it in other ways. But right here, she's very emotional. And for women, I've learned emotions are good. We were gifted with those. It's what we do with them that makes them bad or worse or gooder. We've got to control those. How? I don't know. We have to be aware of it. It's going to be a lifelong process. If you struggled with being emotional, expressing that and crying, then sometimes that can get her. If I cry in front of my husband, whatever the problem is, he's going to want to fix it because I don't cry. So I have to be careful of that. Not that I don't really feel the urge to cry, but I can do this. I once gave my husband the silent treatment for an entire week, at the end of which he declared, "Hey, we're getting along pretty great lately." That's emotional. Just shutting down. Might not be the silent treatment, but I admire women who can pretty much have the same disposition all the time, because you can tell I probably am not like that. I am ha-ha, low-low, no in-between. So you know within just a few seconds what kind of day I've had, because it's either or it's there's no in-between. I can get my way like that. If you can cry at the drop of a hat, you know how to turn it on. If you're emotional like me, you can turn it on. I can flip the switch. We've got to be aware of that. We have to be aware of that. If we're crying and emotional, if we're ha-ha to low-low, if we're giving the silent treatment, we're out of balance. We're out of balance. I gave you a little quote there. I will not sulk. I will not carry a chip. I will not retaliate. Elizabeth Elliot told us that. Two of my favorite verses in Proverbs. I would love for you to look at these. This is 10:48, so I am winding down. Proverbs 25:28 says, "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." That's pretty powerful. Proverbs 16:32, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." It's important to be aware of our emotions. And then you don't have a blank. Number 5 is simply correction, and you don't have a blank for that. And here's just what I want to say. Verse 42, "But one thing is needful," in Luke 10, verse 42, "But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Mary chose it. The decision to be balanced is a choice. It takes discipline. It takes being aware of these 4 areas. If you hear yourself complaining and critical, if you find yourself being very emotional, if you find yourself very distracted, get it back in the middle of the road. Ask your husband. Ask him. I probably challenged you that 1.5 years ago. Have a conversation with him. How am I doing? Ask him, am I distracted? I know right now there is something that I can do right now, and my husband will be annoyed with it, and it's distracting. It has to do with this. It has to do with this. Do I complain? Ask him, am I a complainer? Do I complain a lot? Am I critical? Do I find fault with everything? I can remember my mother like tissing me as a teenager, "You're critical." And I mean, I remember that conversation. I was talking about somebody on the television, like a news anchor. I said something about her. I remember that. I need to judge myself more harshly or examine my own faults more harshly. Do I cry? Am I emotional? Ask him, am I emotional? Remain correctable. Proverbs 12:1 tells us that a wise man loveth instruction. Remain teachable. I don't ever want to get to the place where I'm not teachable. I love that there are women in here older than me that have been married longer than me in here. I want to always be learning, always reading. I was gifted this week a marriage book, and I intend to read it. I want to get better. Even mom books now, I'm in a different season of momming, but you still mom, if you have adult children, my mom, I'd call my mom and be like, hey, can you help me do such and so? Do you know how to do that? I want to get better. How can you be better for your husband? We can be balanced. A balanced wife is building her home. She's being a good thing for her husband. So maybe you saw these things, you're like, nope, today, April the 13th, I am balanced. Praise God. Thank Him for that. And now be aware of these four things if they creep in. And maybe you're sitting here and when I taught this in September, every one of those were evident in my life. But I knew it. And I knew it would take work to get it back in the middle of the road. And I knew it needed to get in the middle of the road. If I'm out of balance, I don't like it. I don't like living out of a suitcase. I don't like missing days and days and days of exercise. I don't like when my screen time report shows up on Sunday morning before church. I don't like that number. That's kind of disheartening sometimes. When you think, man, I read 5 minutes in my Bible, but I had hours. I want to be balanced because my husband deserves that. My children deserve that. My Lord deserves that. He deserves me to be balanced. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to contact us, please write us at P.O. Box 126-541, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, 17112. And visit our website at www.svbcpa.org. Until next time.